I just want to share with you some things here before we get started tonight, and share some things with just some food for thought. I had a sociology teacher in high school would always say that a lot, and just food for thought. So, and you may want to write these things down. These are just some of the catchphrases, I guess you could say, or quotes that I've heard, that we heard, all those guys in here. And I'd like to encourage, I'd like to echo what Brother Allen said here tonight. I just praise God for all those men that went with us this weekend. Had a great time. Looking forward to spending that with you guys on Tuesday mornings. It's going to be early, but that's okay. We got up early in Atlanta. Amen. Amen. 4:30 in the morning we got up to get ready to go to this conference. But it was worth it. It really was. And so I want to look forward to seeing you guys here on Tuesday morning. We're going to allow this first session. We just allow God to lead us in that. And let's just have a great time here as we do that. I just want to share some things with you. Some of them, it is some quotes that I just wrote down that I heard different people. I wish I would have written down who said them. I just took some notes throughout the week or weekend and some of the things. First thing is this, and we got to recognize this, and I think most of us already do, is number one, that the Christian life is impossible. It's just impossible. You say, whoa, wait a minute. Now, I didn't need to hear that coming in here tonight. You know, I could have stayed home and watched some Giants and Patriots play, and you're telling me that the Christian life is impossible? That's exactly what I'm telling you. It is. It is impossible on your own. There's no way that you and I can sustain or live the Christian life without the help of God in our life. We just can't. We can't do that. And one of the other things that I heard is this, is allowing the enemy behind our defenses, it is certain death. That's a powerful point, isn't it? And can I share this with you? I kind of touched on this here this morning, but I want to share it with you tonight. Man, one of the most profound things that I heard all this weekend. I was sitting there, and it was close corners. Close, I think Brother Allen told you this morning, you guys were in a class of what, 700? 700 in the breakout session they were in. The one that we were in, myself and Jason and Dr. Hall, we were in yesterday morning. They was probably more than that, probably 350 people in, standing room only in there. It's really something. And one of the tremendous things I heard, guys, is this, is the fact that for some of us as believers, we try to live a double life. And we try to allow that double life. We may say to ourselves, may not say this publicly, but we may say to ourselves, now, you know what? Now, God, I'm not going to give you this little part of my life. It was described to us as someone owning a farm. It's as if you allow and say to Satan in a 1,000-acre farm, I'm going to give everything to God except this 1 acre. 9,000 acres of land, that ain't much, you know, 1 acre. But guess where that rascal is going to go? He's not going to stay out on the fringes of your life. No, he's going to find the acre that's dead in the center of that 1,000 acres, and that's where he's going to set up shop. Why? Because then he has roads to every other area in your life. I think it was easement, I think we use. An easement to every other area of your life. So don't give him ground whatsoever, none whatsoever. Things to think about. Hope you use those. Something really touched me. I just wanted to share it with you tonight. I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn back to Nehemiah chapter 2 tonight. Oh, one other thing. Worry about the depth of your life and let God take care of the breadth of your life. That's a good one. Chapter 2, Nehemiah, there, say amen. Another little tidbit of information for you tonight. You know the God we serve, He created the universe in which we live in. Do you realize that the closest star to us is 870,000 years from us, traveling wise? Cool. We serve a big God tonight. Hey, He can handle anything. If He can create that, He can handle anything. Amen. Amen. We're talking about vision tonight. We're talking about vision. I'm going to finish up here tonight. I seriously doubt it'll take you as long as it did this morning. We're going to try to finish this thing up this evening. And we're just going to try to finish it up. I ain't going to say how long it is. We're just going to try to finish it up. How does that sound? Word of God tells us here, Nehemiah in chapter 2, verse 17, "Then I said to them, you see the bad situation we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach." Father, I pray this evening now as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, this verse of Scripture, that God, you speak to our hearts, speak to us tonight, that God, we may be able, Lord, to live a life of vision, not our vision, but God, your vision. Father, may we see that, and God, may we just move forward tonight. Lord, may we just, God, grab a hold of it and move, Lord. Lord, this is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen and amen. Now, this morning I shared with you a couple of things about the definition of a vision is open revelation and a dream. Let me just say a little bit more about a dream tonight. I know I made the little joke about being at a men's shop and getting in a gunfight this morning, and that was one of the dreams. But listen to this. Do you realize tonight that if we don't have a dream in this place, we're done? First church I served, I told them at that church, I said, I got a dream here of this church seeing us build a building across the street with a crosswalk going across from the second story of this building into that building. I'll never forget. I can still hear them laughing right now in that church conference that night. And that's where I think I don't know if it's original with me, but I used it, the phrase, if you're going to get a dream, get a big one, because we serve a big God. I believe that. Have you tonight, being part of this fellowship, do you have a dream for this church? Do you? Do you have a dream? And listen to this tonight. Listen to this tonight. Hear this. I'm not talking about buildings. I'm not talking about a number of people in attendance. I'm not talking about any of that. Because it's hit me in the last few days. Until our depth in the Word of God and how we live our Christian lives is what it ought to be, then we will never see any of that other stuff. Ever. It's not going to happen. That's the reason I read that little quote to you there just a moment ago. You and I worry about the depth of our life. And what I mean by that is our relationship with God. How deep is our relationship with God? You and I worry about that. And then allow God to do the breadth of this place. If we worry about that, then that'll happen. The dream. Do you have that dream? Think about this for just a moment. And write this down here tonight. We're just picking up where we left off this morning, okay? What type of dream do you have for this place? Now, we can have all kinds of dreams. I've said this before. I'd love to be able to stand in church auditorium and preach to 1,000 people. I was sitting there yesterday morning in the balcony, way up in the balcony. And it run through my mind, fellas. I just got to be honest with you. Now, buddy, I want to tell you what. I'd love standing there where Johnny Hunt's standing right now. Oh, yeah. 7,500 people. I'd love to do that just one time. I'd stand on that Oriental rug. Yes, sir. I'd stand right there on that Oriental rug and do that. And I'd probably get up and run up and down the steps, you know. I'd love that. But until my life is where it ought to be in the eyes of God, and to where your life is where it ought to be in the eyes of God, we'll never see any of that. What kind of dream do you have? See, the Bible tells us this, and this is where we got to start. The Bible tells us this. It tells us in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm sitting there, and guys, you guys that was with us, we was all sitting in a row there yesterday. I just got to be honest with you. Brother Jason, Brother Allen caught me. I wrote out a sermon right there yesterday morning. That's just the way pastors and preachers think. But I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm already going through what I'm going to share here at Grandview today. And that's going through my mind. I confess that. That's going through my mind. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about this point that I'm going to share with you right now. Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is the first thing we think about when we hear that verse? Anybody? You can speak out loud tonight. Anybody, what do you think about? When you said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is it? What do you think about? Attitude? Servanthood? What else? I'm sorry? Prayer? Okay. Yeah. No wrong answer. This is your, what do you think? Okay. Well, let me share this with you. All those things y'all said are right. They're right. But you know what hit me? And I think, I know I do, this is one of the things that we have the hardest time with when we read Philippians 2:5. You know what? The first thing that comes to my mind is, I don't know what, compassion. Compassion. That's what I thought about. Compassion. But wait! But wait! The mind of Christ, you know what tops it all? Go back to the garden the night he knelt down and began to pray to his heavenly Father. Y'all remember what he said? I'll paraphrase it. God, if you'll take this cup away from me, do it. He's talking about the crucifixion. If you'll take this cup away from me, do it. But if not, your will be done, not mine. That is the mind of Christ in a nutshell. I mean, that encompasses everything y'all talked about here tonight. Because everything you talked about here tonight is the will of God. Every answer that was made in here tonight is the will of God tonight. It's not His will. It's not our will. The mind of Christ, when it comes to a dream for this church, is the will of God, not ours. That's a powerful thought. But see, the Bible goes on and tells us, well, one other thing that we talk about when we see this and when we're talking about a definition of vision is a mental picture. Mental picture. What type of mental picture do you have? What do you see? What do you see? I want you to close your eyes tonight. Let's close your eyes. Everybody, now nobody's going to jump on you when you close your eyes. Nobody's going to punch you in the arm or anything like that. If they do, tell me and I'll come get them. I just close your eyes. Now I want you to stand out here on Forrester Road. Now there's no cars coming. We've shut off both sides, so don't let your mind wander off on dodging a car. I want you to stand out there on Forrester Road. There's 20 acres of land before you, standing right here before you. Right now, there's almost a 400-seat auditorium in this place. Right now, there's Sunday school classes all around here. All right, let me ask you this. What do you see in the ground? Let's just start in the front. What do you see out here in this grass patch out here in the front of the church? What do you see? Now, don't answer that out loud. It's just your mind, your thinking. What is that? What do you see there? Okay, you got that? All right, now follow me. Just to your left over here on this side over here on the right where all this grass area is and the overflow parking, what do you see there? What do you see down there beside the road, if anything? Do you see anything beside the road down there? What do you see? All right, come with me and let's walk up in the parking lot and let's come out here behind the church. We're standing here. We'll go on the other side of the portable buildings that's out there now that's housing four classrooms that we had to bring in because we were running out of classroom space. And have run out of classroom space again. All right, we're standing back there behind those. What do you see in that acreage there behind us? What do you see? What do you see? Many of you don't know this, but there used to be an old barn stood up there on the left-hand side as we're looking out across that landscape. And down here to the left, what do you see over here on this pine orchard to your right, sitting in this auditorium tonight? What do you see over there? All right, you got that in your mind's eye? Okay. A mental picture. A mental picture of what could be. Now, erase that picture and come back to this realization with me. All right, everybody open their eyes. It's great. Whatever you thought's great. Me, I see the huge worship center setting out here. I see a huge building behind us back here for education space. I see that. I see behind that fields for our children, young people to use. I see that back there. I see that one day being involvement in some sort of upwards program. I see that. Mine just begins to run wild. But until you and I get a mental vision of what we ought to be spiritually, we'll never see that physically. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Until we get to Philippians 5 and have this mind in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, and flash back with me to the garden that night as he was praying to his daddy, "Daddy, if you can take this away from me, do it. But if it's not my will, but yours be done in my life." Till we get to that point right there and have that mind of Christ, we are through. Gone as far as we can go. Nehemiah stood before these people years ago. He stood before them and he says, "Look around us. This place is in ruin. This place is demolished. The gates have been burned to the ground." And he, in his mind, the night he walked around that place by himself, he had already mentally visualized everything that was going to happen, but he knew good and well before. Remember, he took 3 days when he walked into that city. He had already prepared his heart and his mind with the will of God in his life before he ever opened his mouth. He was ready at that point. There had to be that. And friends, before we can do anything else, we have got to be at that point. Proverbs 23, you may want to write this down. Proverbs 23:7 tells us this: "For as a man thinketh, so is he." Ain't got to say a word. Listen, you don't have to say a word about the spiritual condition. I don't have to say a word about the spiritual condition of our life. Just be around. Your actions, my actions, will reveal to the world in a matter of seconds who we are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. You ain't got to say a word. The Bible says, as a man thinks right here, so he will be out here. Where are you at tonight? Where am I at tonight? The second thing I want us to see this evening is this. In a vision, when it comes to vision, there's got to be a drive behind that vision. There's got to be a drive to accomplish something. There's got to be a drive. Me and another staff member this evening, right before I come in here, was talking about, do you realize what happened here in this auditorium this morning? Do you grasp that? I had to be reminded by somebody this afternoon. Do you realize what happened here? Somebody set foot in this place and in the service got saved. Hey, That is the Spirit of God moving in this place. Praise God. Hey, for one person to come in and just come in and sit down and just with tears rolling. I tell you what, listen to me. I was closing the service. I was. That's enough, God. Well, God, I guess you've done all you want to do. I think I'm going to shut her down. Got folks in here that's wanting to go eat lunch. You know, fellas, y'all noticed it yesterday when it got about 12 o'clock up there in Woodstock. How many phones did y'all hear go off? Did y'all hear it? I mean, and boy, and 7,500 people, boy, you... He's ready to go. Hey, but I'm here to tell you, I began to pray and God opened my eyes and I saw this precious soul walking right here. We just stayed here the rest of the day. Y'all go on and do what you got to do. We're going to stay here. Oh, man. Listen to me. It is moments like that that ought to drive every one of us in this place tonight. I love it. I love it. Hey man, listen, it didn't have anything to do with what I had to preach about. It didn't have anything to do with that. It had to do with some one person being obedient to the Spirit of God to the point, stepping out on faith and saying, God, I'm not ashamed. Lord, I'm going to step forward. I don't care what anybody thinks or says. It is me and you, and the relationship I have with you is not what it ought to be. And God, I start right here today. I like that. I know my brother loves it. He's able to lead her to the Lord this morning. Praise God. Hey, I want us to be at that point where we want to see that happen every service. I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning. I'm talking about on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Why not? If you're going to have a dream, it's your big one. The dream or the vision has to have drive. Things that will take us out of the ordinary. I'll never forget this as long as I live. They asked me one year in Russell Baptist Association. I got a call from Wayne Burns. He's the director of missions up there. He called me and he says, Brother Mike, now you'd have to know him. He walks to the beat of a different drummer. And if he was standing right there, he'd agree with me. He does. He just walks to the beat of different. Love him to death. Great man. He called me. He said, Brother Mike, I want you to be able to be the associational evangelist. I had never served on anything in the association in my life. I said, what in the world does that entail? He said, well, I'll tell you what it is. He said, the biggest thing you got to do is here when we have our evangelism conference. He said, you get a speaker for that. I said, man, yeah, I'll do it. I didn't know who in the world to get. I didn't know who to get in anything in the world. I remember at the time the pastor of Ladonia Baptist Church, I called him. I said, hey, brother, you mind if we have the conference there? He said, no, I'd love for it. I said, listen, I said, by the way, I said, do you know, I really do. I said, I really want to get somebody outside the association to come in and speak. I said, do you know of anybody like, he said, man, I got it. He said, I know exactly who we can get down here. The pastor of Lakeview Baptist Church in Auburn, Alabama. Does anybody know where that's at? I mean, it is a huge church up there. This guy come down and preached. Well, listen to this. Long story short, the night we had the evangelism conference, you know that time where everybody comes in and gets all charged up about seeing people getting saved and everybody gets charged up about that? Do you realize what happened that night? This is out of the ordinary. Listen, somebody got saved at the evangelism conference. Imagine that. You know, we're just supposed to come in here and hear about somebody getting saved. We're not actually supposed to see it happen. But it did. At the end of that service, a young man walked down the aisle, walked right there to where I was at in front, grabbed me by the hand and said, tonight I want to get saved. Well, buddy, you in the right place. Let's do it. I'm here to tell you, these people standing there, you know, this ain't never worked this way before now. We ain't never done it this way, huh? You know, you hear an evangelism conference, we're not supposed to do it this way now. This ain't right. Can I share this with you tonight? There's never a wrong time for somebody to give their life to Jesus Christ. There's never a wrong time. It's always a right time. But we got to have a drive. We got to have something. We got to long to see something happen. Do you long? I mean, really, do you long to see God work in this place? Or do we just show up at this place to show up at this place? Is it just a routine every Sunday to you, every Wednesday to you? Is it just a routine to come into this place? Is it just a routine to sit back and maybe hear Brother Allen lead a few songs and hear Brother Mike get up and preach a little while, maybe tell a few funny stories and all this type stuff? Is that all it is to you? Because listen tonight, if that's all it is, guys, listen, you are missing it. We ought to come into this place here and long for God's presence to be so overwhelming in here until we can't stand it. Till we come into this place right here, and I'm here to tell you, the preacher boy doesn't have to stand up and say a cotton-picking word. They are people longing to give their life to Jesus Christ. Mike, sit down, shut up, and allow God to speak to these people here tonight and see lives changed. I'm here to tell you, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to see God's people. Guys, listen to me. That's the drive I got tonight. Oh, my gracious, alive. Whew, I like that. But listen to some of these stories throughout history, the things when it comes to a drive. Listen to this. Some quotes I want to share with you. These are quotes. Everything, listen to this, everything that can be invented has been invented. That was said by Charles Jewell, the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office in 1899. Ain't nothing else. We done it all. Listen to this. Listen to this. Ladies, you'll love this one. Sensible, responsible women do not want to vote. You want to know who said it? I didn't say that. President Grover Cleveland in 1905. Can you imagine the president saying that today? No comment. Listen to this. One man said something along these lines, said something along that lines to his wife. How would you like it if you didn't see me for a few days? He said, that'd be absolutely fine. The man later reported, the first day I didn't see her. The second day I didn't see her. The third day I didn't see her. And then on the fourth day, when I could finally crack open this eye, I saw her. There is no likelihood that a man, let's look at a direct quote, there is no likelihood that a man will ever tap the power of the atom. Nobel Prize winning physicist Robert McGillin, 1923. How do you like them atoms? Lord Kelvin in 1855 said this, flying machines heavier than air will never fly. It is an impossibility. Hey, you know what? Listen to me. Tonight, them type of attitudes sometimes creep into the church. We've done all we can do. There ain't no way anything else can happen. You know what? We're fine right where we're at. Everything's hunky-dory. Let's just stay right here till Jesus comes back and everything will be fine. Let's sit out there on that hill off Forrester Road and smile and grin and everything going to be fine. I mean, I just want to share this with you. This is from my heart, guys. Listen to me. If we do that, the world's fixing to pass us by. Do you realize right now that we, on this church right here, do you realize tonight that we are setting, I shared this here with the guys Thursday night, we are standing on the threshold of a population explosion right here. About to happen. You don't believe me? Get in your car tonight. If you go home back in town, drive down here, Dent Road, turn right, go back over here and look right there across from my brother's house and see. It's fixing to be close to 3,000 students here to college, medical college. Those folks got to have somewhere to live. Those folks got to have somewhere to stay. And listen to me tonight, guys. They also need Jesus Christ as well. And I'm here to tell you guys, listen to me. As pastor of this church, I want us to be the ones that share it with them. I want us to be the ones. I want us to be. Hey, guys, God put this church out here for a reason. For all of you listening tonight, that all of you, I wasn't there, but for all of you that were over there on Selma Street, there was a reason that He planted it in the hearts and the minds of you guys to come here. I believe with all my heart now that plan is being laid before us, and if we don't do anything, if we don't grab hold of that vision, I believe with all my heart we're going to miss the reason that we were put right here. The third thing, the final thing I want us to see tonight is this, is the diversity of the vision. The diversity. You ever been around somebody that's negative? Oh. Some of the biggest pessimists in the world. You ever been around like that? Shoot, that glass ain't half full. That's only a quarter full. I don't even think there's any water in it, to be honest with you. Never been around somebody like that? I have. I got some of those folks in my family. Not my immediate family. But they there. I ain't going to tell you who they are because you may call them and tell them. I got some there. You know what I learned 17 years of ministry too? Listen to this. Some of the biggest pessimists also sit in church pews. There's a reason I told you tonight that the closest star to this planet's 870,000 years away. The closest star. Whew. I wish I could remember the exact numbers. How many of you tonight know what the Eagle Nebulous is? Anybody know what that is tonight? It's a picture taken by the Hubble telescope of this formation of gas. Hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of light years from this planet tonight. The guy we heard speak yesterday morning, a fellow by the name of Gary Bates from Melbourne, Australia. He put that up on the board and he pointed to one point on this nebulous and he said from that point right there, physicists have calculated from that point to this point, which was only about a quarter of the way down, is over 4 billion miles. Guys, listen to me. If our God can do stuff like that, if our God can do things like that, He can flat sure do anything in this church. He can handle anything that comes this way. And guys, listen, for us to be set back and be pessimistic, for us to set back and say the glass is only half full, we truly hadn't turned everything over to God. And can I share this with you tonight as well? Some of the things that we will see come this way in the future, listen, it's going to be God thought processes. It's going to be turning it all over to God. I share this with you tonight. If you were there here a few years ago when we was meeting down in that school, you know this. But if you weren't here, you've come on board with us since that point. Can I share this with you here tonight? Listen to me. Mathematically and financially, the building you set in tonight, there was absolutely no way that we could pay for it. Couldn't do it. There was no way. Looking on paper, it just ain't going to happen. But we serve a big God. And this group of people stepped out on faith. And I'm here to tell you tonight, listen to me. He ain't let us down yet. Why? Because we prayed about it. We sought God's face. I'll never forget standing out here in this field in these pine trees, walking around on Sunday afternoons, praying and asking God's guidance, asking God's leadership, people driving by thinking we're some kind of Fruit Loops out here in the trees. But I'm here to tell you, listen to me, I believe with all my heart, God heard the prayers of His saints of this church, and He answered to the point we're sitting right here tonight. I believe that. For us to sit back and say that there ain't no way this is going to happen, guys, listen to me, is allowing and not putting God in the equation. Listen to this. When the steamboat was invented, it was set first, its first trial was set in the Hudson River. And they said that there was a man standing on the banks watching all this take place, and as he stood there, he was saying, "They'll never get it going. Never get it going." Over and over he'd say, "They'll never get that thing going. That ain't going to work. Never get it going." Mm-mm. Until it started moving. And as it started moving, he changed his tune to this. "Well, they'll never get it stopped. They'll never get it stopped." One of the statements I've made, I know this is original, I say it is original with me, is the fact I've always said this. You know what? I'm trying to be funny when I say this. It doesn't matter. You know, sometimes if you was to dip the whole church building in solid 24 karat gold, somebody'd stand out front and say, "That's too shiny." That is funny. I like it. I'll laugh about that tonight when I go home. I do that every once in a while. My family thinks I'm a little off my rocker. Probably am. I want to share one last thing with you tonight. Quote. Very powerful to me. Helen Keller. Y'all know who Helen Keller was. Listen to what this precious lady said. "Worse than being blind worse than being blind would be to see, yet have no vision." That's powerful. You have vision tonight? Nehemiah here in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Allow your pastor's mind to run for just a moment. I believe when he stood up and said that, "Whoever was standing with him, you see the bad situation we're in." I believe with all my heart those people never got past that statement. I believe with all my heart, with all my soul, that when he said, "You see the situation we're in," I believe that people stopped right then and cut off every other thing he was going to say. "You see the situation we're in." Few more may have heard that Jerusalem is desolate. The gates have been burned by fire. There's a few more heard that. Cut him off after that, though. I believe there was even fewer heard him say, "Come, let us rebuild it so that we will no longer be in reproach." Where are you tonight? Which one of those groups are you in? I pray it's the latter, because that latter group, whenever they heard him say, "Come, let us rebuild this," I'm here to tell you, I got a feeling that those folks, they had been so prayed up, they were ready to go, they were ready to move forward, they were right where they needed to be with their relationship with God Almighty, and they were going to do it no matter what. You'll see here in a few more sermons, there was those who stand and made fun of them, thought they were just off their bean, off their rocker, however you want to refer to it, but they moved forward. Where are you tonight? I want to ask you to do this. We're just going to close a little different tonight. I want to ask you to stand. We ain't going to play, we ain't going to sing, we ain't going to do nothing like that. I do want to give you one opportunity to do this tonight, and then I want to pray for us tonight as a church. I just want to take this opportunity to do this. I want to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, Now listen, if you're in this place right here tonight, I could not go home tonight and sit down in my chair here in a few minutes, not trying to be funny. I'd sit down in my chair and I would not be able to sit down and know that I didn't give you an opportunity right tonight to make a decision. God's spoken to your heart today, this afternoon, and tonight. You need to make some sort of decision that God's laid on your heart. Right now is the opportunity for you to do that. I want you to step out wherever you're at in this place. Minister standing down front right now, come on, right now. We'll be more than happy to pray with you. Maybe you want to come and just pray yourself. Come on, tonight. Just a few more moments for you. This is just for you. Don't wait on somebody else. Don't be concerned about what somebody may say or think. You come right now. You come as God leads you. Maybe you just need someone to pray with you, pray for you. Maybe you just need to get on your knees tonight and just pray that God touch your life, whatever it is. If folks have come tonight, you come right here. Maybe you need to do the same thing. Maybe you need to come up here and pray tonight. God touch your life. Touch what's going on inside of you. Maybe that vision, maybe that thought process is not what it needs to be. You just want God to touch your life tonight and lead you in that area so that you may be the believer you ought to be. Come on right now.